Well, I'll have you know, Al Gore isn't reducing his carbon footprint as much as we are tonight. And that's what we're all about, is reducing our carbon footprint. I'm so proud of my sweat. It's a beautiful thing, you know, we're saving the earth, saving the environment. I may not be saving your nostrils, but that's okay. It's so comical. See, the Rock saves money by leaving the air conditioner off, because now that Minneapolis passed the ordinance that you have to buy carbon credits, we save money. Means you sweat a little, but that's okay. So, ha ha ha. Well, anyway, I got to get on to another topic. This song tonight, I really like this song. 1975, I was sitting in San Francisco, California for 3 months in an apartment listening to that album over and over and over. And that song in particular, over and over. It really was an integral part of my spiritual journey, Simon and Garfunkel. They're the ones who recorded the song, wrote the song. And the Lord really used that song to bring me to Christ. Not so much because the song was about God, but just because the whole album made me realize, I know it's going to sound stupid, but just how empty the world really was. And really how empty the hippie movement really was. And how empty the 60s really were. And how empty all the message that they had to say really was. It just didn't hold water. And the Lord used that period in my life to just reveal Himself to me. To actually show me that He's the real bridge over troubled water, that He's the real source of life and strength. I've been thinking a lot about strength the last few weeks, and I want to share that with you this evening. I'm sorry that I could not be here with you to share the last couple of weeks. I really appreciate Carl filling in for me. Things have been extremely intense with my daughter's health, and there's really nothing I can do about it but respond the best that I can, flex my life around it, and adjust and simply do whatever the Lord asks of me to do. And so because of the intensity of the last several weeks, I've simply been going round and round the clock trying to help my wife and everything that needs to be done to maintain a level of sanity. I'm thinking about strength. So the other day, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to look up some verses, and I found it very, very interesting that the Bible actually commands us to be strong. To be strong. I thought, well, that's an interesting command. You know, the Bible tells us to be thankful. The Bible tells us to be joyful. The Bible tells us to sing. The Bible tells us to trust the Lord. But the Bible also tells us to be strong. And I thought I would read over some of these verses tonight I've been thinking about, especially the last couple of weeks, and just talk about why it's possible for you and I to be strong in the midst of such difficulties that may come into our lives and that will inevitably come one way or the other. In Deuteronomy chapter 31:6, God says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of the nations around you, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." Deuteronomy 31:23. The Lord gave His command to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on an oath, and I myself will be with you." Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Judges 5:21. "The river Kishon swept them away, the age-old river, the river Kishon. March on, my soul, be strong." 1 Kings 2:2. "I am about to go the way of all the earth." This is David speaking. And he said to Solomon, "Be strong and show yourself a man." 1 Chronicles 28:20. David also said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. 2 Chronicles 32:7, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. I'll come back to that verse. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 31:24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Daniel 10:19, do not be afraid, O Daniel, highly esteemed by God. Peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened, and I said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, play the man. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. As I reflected over these passages, I got to be honest. One of the things that struck me was how weak, first of all, as humans, we're very weak. We're very frail, all of us, no matter who we are, myself included. But one of the things that I couldn't get my mind off of is how weak we become today in Christian circles. And how many men and women today, in order to cope, have to rely on some outside stimulus rather than the strength of God, rather than a stout heart. The word strong is a synonym of the word stout-hearted. And the word stout-hearted means an ability to endure stress, pain, and hard use without giving way, without falling apart. It also is synonymous with sturdy, which implies strength derived from determination of spirit. It's been interesting for me in this journey that the Lord has had us on. And I've been keeping a record of it. Every few weeks, I'll write a few more sentences. And I keep a record of all the corresponding things that are going on at the same time as this, and some of the ebbs and flows of this whole trial. And as a human, and as a father, there have been times I just think to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this anymore. In the last about 4 weeks now, my wife and daughter have been getting to bed about 3:30 or 4 in the morning. And I realize that for my wife, you know, I like, Lord, this is really getting intense. This is really hard. And she's not able to make up all of her sleep during the day. And of course, you know, one of my prayers, I'm not ashamed of to pray, is, oh God, help us, help her be strong. Help her not fall apart from exhaustion. Help us not fall apart. And I've just been going over these verses, speaking to my own soul. March on, soul. Be strong. Play the man. Be strong. And so I just began to, I was telling this to Jessica today because sometimes she's laying in bed, then I'll pace and give her a message, personal message. And I'm saying, you know, Jessica, I realize sometimes that this job that God has given you right now of just laying in this bed and tending to your wounds. Yesterday we went in to see a burn specialist. And he's a surgeon. He just deals with burn patients all the time. And he said, you know, this is really unique and really odd. And obviously you've got to deal with this like it's a burn. And I won't go through all the things that go on in Jessica's day, in our day, but it gets at times extremely intense. And my office is at home, so I really can't get away from it. I mean, I could say, bye, girls, I'm out of here and leave, but I know they need me. I was saying, you know, Jessica, I know sometimes when I come in the morning and I gently kiss your cheek and I take off the oxygen tubes and I try to get you going a little bit and get you up for just briefly for the things you got to do. And it's a little bit like, you know, after 4 years and 6 months, I don't want to face this again. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. Did you ever see the movie with Michael Douglas, Groundhog Day, just the day that won't end? And I said, do you realize, Jessica, it hit me today that Noah got up every single day for 100 years to do the same thing. To go out and work on a boat, no one had ever seen rain. And the townspeople came out and they made fun of him and they belittled him. And Noah kept working on that ark for 100 years. I said, I was thinking about Joshua, Jessica. God came to Joshua. Joshua was about 40 years old when he began to lead the children of Israel. And for 40 years, or until Joshua's death, the nation was at war. Now I realize that, you know, right now, what's going on in Iraq has been the longest period that we have been at war. And wow, are people tired of it. Imagine your whole lifetime. And not war at a distance, but a very physical war of picking up that sword and marching out day after day against armies that are 10 to 100 times larger than anything you're capable of mustering. And trying to muster the resolve of all the people that you're leading and keep them from being afraid. And God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, don't you be terrified and don't you be discouraged. You be strong because I'm with you. Of course, that's the secret. We'll get to that in a moment. God is with us. He's with us. He lives inside of us. He surrounds us. He's with us. I was thinking about that. I'm not going to recommend this movie, but maybe you saw the movie. If you did, then it will make a little sense. I could use the movie Troy. But the movie 300 is really kind of an astounding movie. And I realize that, you know, you think to yourself, well, some of this stuff is make-believe. Not when you read the Old Testament. Now, the Spartans in the 300, that may be make-believe. Or a little overblown, but the Old Testament is not make-believe. And there's stuff that happened like that in the Old Testament. One man in particular, one of David's mighty men, fought so long in a two-day period, killed over 100,000 Philistines, that the sword froze in his hand. He could not undo his fist. David's 30 mighty men did extraordinary military exploits. And you got this movie, this vast Persian army. And the reason I'm using this as an illustration is because this is what Hezekiah was up against the nation of Israel. It says that the armies that came in camp, they looked like locusts to Hezekiah. Hundreds of thousands of troops to his, you know, 20, 30, 40,000. More numerous than the sand on the seashore. And I was just thinking, when the Persians come to Sparta and they offer peace, if they'll be their slaves, and they refuse. And so the Spartans go down this one valley, this gorge, and they begin to look out as one ship after another. You see the same thing in Troy. Hundreds and thousands of ships, hundreds of thousands of men getting off these ships, all trained for war. And if you're King Hezekiah, if you were King Hezekiah, you would have had to have been scared to death. I think of George Washington in Valley Forge, down to less than 1,000 men, with 50,000 Hessian-trained German soldiers that had been hired, and the British. And his men have no shoes, and they're freezing. They're caught in the snow. Where did they find the result? Today, we have men and women that can barely cope with a disobedient 2-year-old. We have people that can barely sustain trying to work out their marriage. And yet we see these extraordinary things. We see the Apostle Paul who says to Timothy, Timothy, be strong, my son, in the grace of God. And you see Paul traveling from one city to the next. He's beaten, he's whipped, he's stoned, he's thrown in jail. And I just was reading over the passages. I was reading them aloud. I have a number of what I call, I guess, they're key passages in my life, secret passages in my life, meaningful passages in my life, and I go back to them over and over, and I read about Paul's troubles. We faced sleepless nights, exhaustion, cold. We were hungry. We were naked. We were abandoned. And I think, wow, you know, Lord, you're capable of bringing me through so much more than what I ever imagined. And you are asking of me so much more than I thought. King Hezekiah says this as he looks over this vast army. I'll read this passage to you because I think it's really striking. Hezekiah comes out to the people and he says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid of the king of Assyria and his mighty army, for there is a power with us far greater on our side than on theirs. He may have a great army, but they are just men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us." These words greatly encourage the people. And I was sharing with Jessica today. I said, you know, sweetheart, I realize it just seems like, you know, the Lord threw us into a really complicated situation where it just doesn't seem to be any answers. And there seems to be all of these enemies that no one seems to be able to tackle fighting you, your skin, your stomach, your body, your ribs. And it just goes on and on and on. But I was so comforted reminding myself that the power that is with us is so much greater than the power that is standing against us. In Isaiah chapter 43, I've been reading this over this week as well and sharing it with my daughter and my wife. It's been one of my promised passages over the last 33 years of my life. "But now, O Israel," and so you can put your name in there, whatever your name is. "But now, O Mark," and I say to her, "but now, O Kathy, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. Jessica, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you." And I like the way he says it, "when you," not "if you go." It's not an "if you go." It will be "when you go." When you go through great waters, deep waters, and great trouble, I will be with you. "When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown." You may feel like you're going to drown, but you won't drown. "When you walk through the fire of oppression, you'll not be burned up. The flames won't consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. My son died that you might live. I traded his life for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Do not be afraid. It's easy to be afraid, isn't it? It's easy when we look at our lives, we project a future, and we can be fearful. We can be more than fearful. We can have a panic attack. See, what I'm trying to get at, and I don't want you to take this wrong. We are the most medicated society, mentally medicated, psychologically medicated, that has ever been. Now, there is clearly a time for different people to be medicated. But what's really missing in a multitude of people's lives is inner strength, is resolve, is that spirit that says, be strong, buck up, play the man, be strong. I find it interesting. I've shared this with you before, but maybe you weren't here, you didn't hear me say this, but I find it so interesting. You watch these big NFL players, you know, they're big, they're strong, they get paid lots of money. And they're so tough. I see the same thing in the UFC, the cage matches. These guys are so vicious, they're so strong, they can deal with so much pain, but they sure can't make their marriage work. And when the going gets tough, or it gets a little difficult at home, or maybe all of a sudden they have a kid that has a physical disability, fathers are abandoning their women and children in unprecedented numbers today in our society. Why? Because they're weak. Because they're weak. And do you know, and I've told you this before, that the divorce rate among Christians is as high or slightly higher than non-Christians? Because we're weak. Because we've chosen to be weak. We've disobeyed. Let me put it another way. This is striking. We've disobeyed this command. Be strong. It's a command. We don't often think of it that way. You know, I can think of it sometimes as an option. Well, I don't feel like being strong today, Lord. Yeah, I don't feel like it. In fact, you know, if you went along, Lord, and, you know, look, Lord, what I really like is just change my situation. Then I'll sing. Then I'll be strong. Then I'll rejoice. Then I'll give thanks. Then I'll put a smile on my face. But dang you, Lord, I've been praying and praying. Just change the circumstances. That's really, you know, what's going on. This is why we find, brothers and sisters, this is why we find such, as the Bible says, these things were written for us in earlier times, that through perseverance we might have hope through the encouragement of the Scripture. You see, these people, they were real lives. Noah was a real man. His 24-hour day was the same as your 24-hour day. And for 100 years, he did the same stinking thing every day. But boy, did it pay off. The rains started to come. The rains kept falling. And it wasn't too long. It was only him and his wife and sons and their wives in the ark. Everyone else was slaughtered. Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached 20, 30, 40 years to a nation that despised him. They beat him. They put him in jail. They whipped him. They left him naked in a hole in mud up to his neck. I thought about that. I thought, well, Lord, gee whiz. You know, what reality would I rather have? Let's see. Jessica being sick, and that's really tough. And of course, for her sake, you know, I want her to get better. I pray for that. I'm not ashamed to pray for that every day. Or would I like to work on an ark for 100 years in this kind of weather in the Middle East with no air conditioning and no ice cubes and no back massager? I don't know, Lord. Maybe I'd rather be Jeremiah. Having people write silly songs about me and mock me and beat me and leave me naked in a hole and laugh at everything that I tell them about God. I don't know, take your pick. You know, maybe you'd rather be Esther. Maybe you'd rather have her lot in life. Solomon, though he was the wisest man that ever lived and eventually became the richest man that ever lived, he also had the responsibility, which is why David told him, be strong and courageous, and finished the work. It took almost 40 years of his life to build the temple. 40 or more years. He'd have workers die. He'd have big rocks fall on workers and crush them, and they die. He'd run out of materials. He'd have to go get more materials. And I'm sure there were many times Solomon was downhearted, and he'd come back to what his father told him, be strong. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible tells us, have you not heard? How can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? How can you say God refuses to hear your case and does not care about your situation? Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know the Lord is the everlasting God? Excuse me. I'm not joking when I say I have trouble with my voice. Lord has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Sometimes it fails me. Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. I love that, just thinking about he never grows faint or weary. I mean, I do. And the older I get, the quicker I do. But God, you ever been in a house where, you know, all of a sudden the power flickers just a little bit, and then it flickers again, flickers, then it goes out? God doesn't flicker. If you had God on a power grid, he's at the top of the grid all the time. He never wavers. He's never wavered from eternity past nor to eternity future. He's never needed to rejuvenate. He's never needed to recharge. He's never needed to rest. He's never fallen asleep on the job. I know it's really hard for us to get our hands around that. There is no other God but our God, and he does not grow weary, discouraged, downhearted, tired, exasperated. He's full of power all the time. He gives power to the weak, to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength. Even young people will become exhausted, and young men will give up. I must confess, I have one guilty pleasure, I guess if you call it a guilty pleasure, but every Saturday at 6 o'clock, I really like to watch UFC Wired on Channel 29. It motivates me on my exercise bike. I pretend that I'm in a cage. Not that I really want to be in the cage. I'm really amazed by some of these guys. But it's always interesting to see the guy who did his cardio and the guy who didn't. And to watch some of the guys who train at altitude and the guys who don't. And the guy who didn't do his cardio, he's hoping for a knockout or a submission in the first round. And then you see the second round, and he begins to fade. And the other guy who's trained at altitude or done his cardio, it's unbelievable the difference. And I saw one of those matches last week. And it's kind of like we are. You know, sometimes we're young. Most of you here are pretty young. And you think of yourself as just inexhaustible energy. And then try getting in one of those cages with one of those guys and see how weak you really are. See how quick your energy really runs out when you have to provide resistance against someone who's trying to take your head off. We can get to this point in our lives, the Bible says, that God does not grow weak. Even young men become exhausted, but those who wait on the Lord, those who trust the Lord, will find new strength. They will fly high on the wings of eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. There's a verse in Isaiah 41 that says, the Lord tells the children of Israel to be strong. Don't give up. Surely I will hold you with my righteous right hand. And I was explaining to Jessica, you know, sweetheart, sometimes the Lord, I was telling this to my wife too, and it just really helped me today visually, mentally. And I said, sometimes the Lord, he throws us in the deep end of the pool. Well, it's more than that. I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Mark Wahlberg, The Perfect Storm, based on a true story. But the ocean really scares me. Not the ocean like walking on the shore. I mean being 200, 400, 800, 1,000 miles out into the ocean with no land for 1,000 miles around. That gives me the creeps. The absolute power of the wind and the waves when they get going. And you think of a ship that's bigger than this whole school. You think of the weight. You think of it just being tossed about like a little bobber on the end of a fishing line. And you're on that boat. And it's just being tossed. And the waves are coming over. And the waves are coming over. Sometimes, to be honest, God doesn't put us in the deep end of the swimming pool. He puts us in the movie, The Perfect Storm. And you remember when those Navy SEALs or the Coast Guard guys, they come down on the helicopter and the wind's blowing them. And if you saw the movie, you'll have to get the movie now. It's based on a true story. And they're down there and the line's being blown and they're trying to get down in the water to get a guy in a basket and save his life. And I'm like, I almost want to vomit just watching it. I can't imagine being dangled from a helicopter that's being blown and the cable's being blown and I'm going down, and I mean, the helicopter may just end up blowing the water. And to be honest, drowning's not the way I want to die. Sometimes the Lord, He drops us in the ocean like that. See? And the things that are going on in our lives. He doesn't do it because He hates you. He doesn't do it because you're not precious to Him. The Bible makes it very clear in Isaiah 43 that you're precious to Him, that you're honored, that He loves you. And He says, when you go through the water of difficulty, when you go through deep trouble, you're still honored, you're still precious, He still called you by name, but He's going to allow for His purposes and for your good some of these great things to come into your life. I said, you know what He does, Jessica? All He asks us to do is just keep swimming, and He reaches out His right arm like a daddy with his little one-year-old in the swimming pool holding the child up under their tummy. He won't let you sink. Listen, if we sink, Jesse, it'll be because we quit being strong. And I have to face that sometimes myself. I have to look in the mirror. I have to have a pep talk with myself. I won't tell you what they sound like sometimes because it might offend you. But I have pep talks with myself. I go out in my garage. I go out to my place of prayer. Because there's times that all of us, we just want to quit. You just want to just walk away. You just want, you know, peace. You just want your circumstances to change. And so you think, if I just walk away, I'll change. And I love what Jessica said to me so many times. She said, well, Dad, if we quit, well, what good is that? I'll be a basket case and my skin won't be any better. I'm still stuck. It'd just be 10 times worse. Because it'd be over the edge. That's really true. That's really true. So many times we think, if I just run, it will be better. Oh, it won't be better. For a brief period of your time, of your life, you may feel better. Then the conscience starts to work on you, and the guilt and the shame. And then whatever you're facing hasn't disappeared. You still got to deal with it, especially when it's your health or whatever trouble God may allow in your life. And I just want to encourage you tonight that you're precious to God. You are precious to God. He bought you. He calls you by name. He loves you. You're honored in the eyes of God. Remember that no matter what you're going through, He's with you. He's with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You tonight. I want to thank You tonight, Lord, that You're with me. It means everything to me, Lord. You know, so many times it might be the middle of the night, it might be early in the morning, I'm doing different things, and I wished I had more hands, I wished I had more arms. And I just remind myself, Lord, You're with me. You're with me. You're my extra hands. You're my extra arms. And it just helps my spirit to be determined. And it energizes my life, knowing that You're with me. My world, Lord, for me, and I'm sure there are people here tonight who look at their world and it's kind of been turned upside down. But God, I just thank You that You hold us in the palm of Your hand and that we are precious to You. We walk out in this hall tonight and we'll see moms and dads with their little babies. Those little babies are so precious to them, Lord. We are more precious to You than those children are to that mother or father. You love us. You would never, I was reminding myself of this today and my wife and daughter, You would never, ever, ever deliberately bring something into our life that would cause us to fall apart. You're not that kind of God. The devil, he comes, he whispers, he lies to us, he tells us, God doesn't care, God's deserted you. Why hasn't God answered your prayer? You must be screwed up. God doesn't even exist. And yet, Lord, You're there with Your strength, with Your empowerment, with Your encouragement. You know everything about our lives. You know what's coming tomorrow. You know what's come today. You know what was yesterday. I just praise you, God, that you give us all the strength we need if we'll take it and be strong in our spirit, be strong for every 24-hour days that we face, one at a time. Thank you, Father. And I just pray that you'd be with each person here tonight, because I know that many of them are going through great difficulties. I pray that they would remind themselves that you are with them, and they would experience your profound comfort and your peace and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.